Monday.
Apparently.
It's Monday. And we're coming at you this year for the very first time from the confines of Fuzzle Faggot Ridge.
Woo!
Hot Stuff's intellectual commune in the liberal haven of Cambridge, Ma. Taxachusetts.
Yeah.
Taxachusetts is where. And yet you told me that I was crazy for expecting to pay tax on food.
Well, I mean, liberal haven, you know, we're not going to charge the poor people for providing them with sustenance.
We should charge the poor people for everything. How else am I supposed to rise on the backs of those
downtrodden masses?
Yeah. So Fusilaban says that our voices are quiet relative to the music, and I don't know that there is really anything we can do about that except maybe make the voices or make the music quieter.
I mean, are we audible?
The main concern is that our voices are all sort of similar levels, so that people can at least just turn their shit up.
What?
Turn your shit up. We were just looking at the results from this year's Mystery Hunt, which is, as it is every year, the occasion of Riffs and my trip out here to the shores of Puzzle Faggot. Yeah, we came in 11th.
11th, yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, there were, 50 teams, so I guess that's okay, but...
Yeah, there were 50 teams in... It's just so fucking hard. Like, I do not even feel bad about not doing well.
Yeah,
this
no, I don't
year
either.
Because it was just,
it was just nuts.
Yeah, and there were no KOL puzzles to give us a little
so
boost.
So clearly, there was something wrong with the Hunt.
is Foggy on the Bombers?
Yeah.
Well, he was.
Oh well, he was for the previous Hunt.
Yeah,
so.
He had mentioned that he liked to hop teams, and I talked with him briefly at...
I hope he's doing next year's Hunt, because his were good puzzles.
Well, the thing is, he doesn't, because he publishes a magazine of puzzles, he doesn't really want to write another hunt, I think.
Mm.
I mean, maybe he'll change his mind, or maybe he has changed his mind, or whatever, but he said that he'd liked the experience of sort of traveling from team to team, and I had the inclination to ask him to join our team for this year, but our team kind of lost a lot of steam heading into this year's hunt, so I'm glad that we didn't, because it would have been kind of...
Ask him for next year.
Yeah, but I'm thinking I will, because if he's still as interested in, like, sort of checking out different teams and stuff like that, it'd be awesome to have him hunt with us. But if you look at the graph, it's that exact same thing. The teams that all... There's, like, a pack of teams that sort of at the top 10 teams, basically, that kind of finished in a loose pack up at the top, and then there's, like, a fairly wide gap between them and us, who are sort of in the next sort of bunch. They all kind of maintained progress over the Friday early morning thing.
But all the teams, everybody else, there's a big flat line there. Yeah.
And that's gonna kill us every year. Like, it's not like we were super competitive before then, but that ends it. You know?
I mean, that's gonna kill us because we're not willing to take it as seriously as, yeah. I guess you are.
Yeah.
You are.
I slept a good 5 hours, 5 or 6 hours this time.
I know, man.
It was crazy.
What the hell is the matter with you? you're gonna have so much sand in your eyes that you can't see the puzzles if you keep oversleeping.
It's amazing that if you just don't consume caffeine for 4 months, when you start drinking Mountain Dews 2 or 3 at a time, it has a real impact on your ability to stay awake. If you want, you know. I can stay awake for days.
I wonder. So there was no Thursday show on Monday. This past Monday, Scully did a show by himself. So, yeah, we must want to start after the 21st.
Do we?
Yeah.
Was there a Thursday show? There wasn't a Thursday show.
There was not, so let's start on the 22nd, and if we like run out of questions, we'll...
Okay.
Well, is there anything we want to talk about ahead of time? We've been working on all kinds of ultra secret stuff.
Yeah.
There's
semi secret quiet.
Yeah, there's four big chunks of stuff that are being worked on. Well,
one of them is a giant pile of poo.
Right, right, and. One of them is just a wrench. Slowly building a wrench out of fudge.
He's packing it very densely.
Yeah.
we could build our very own nests out of our saliva.
We could, and then perhaps some birds would make soup out of them.
That's a good idea. There's this awesome. If you haven't seen it yet, it's like everybody and their mother bought. This DVD series that came out, I think, in this past year called Planet Earth. There's like a coffee table book that comes along with it, but it's like 5 years of footage that the BBC collected, and like BBC and Discovery Channel are airing episodes, and they sold the DVDs. And there's this awesome one on caves, because caves are just freaking insane. But that's where you get to learn where bird's nest soup comes from, primarily from this one particular cave.
We watched one of them, the aquatic.
Yeah.
One. The camera
no
guys
particular reason
seem like douchebags.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So that's the thing is in every episode there's some kind of mention of the camera guys, and I don't know why they're. It's like a lot about the makers of the
yeah.
Things.
Yeah. No. I mean, I can see that.
2000 hunt mystery hunt puzzles are online.
2000 mystery hunt puzzles.
2008.
Oh, the puzzles are online with solutions.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So now we can find out
you guys
what the hell
what
is going on.
Yeah, like what the fuck with that role playing game one that Mr. Mag got all excited about, and it was just 9 people. It was just pictures of 9 people.
No additional information.
No additional information at all.
I get to play rotating slider again.
Yeah, Riff was nuts. He was a force to be reckoned with. a force with which must nevertheless have been reckoned.
One of the first puzzles that you get was just a series, like 8 strings of letters, and you get strongly hinted that, you know, maybe it's every other letter or something, right? And that was in fact what it was, but I don't know how you're supposed to identify that phrase, like those phrases, like
especially since they weren't sent. The first one was New York, Arkansas.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the letters from Arkansas was removed, and that, you know, apparently that's how you get the answer, is it's which letter is missing from what should.
But does
be
that mean that it changes the offset?
I think it might have.
It's not like an entire triplet is missing. Yeah, that is some bullshit.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. You know, we're not thinking about it right. We sat on one of the meta puzzles because we interpreted one of the instructions as Ashitori as opposed to as Hitori.
Right.
Because a bunch of us had never heard of what
it was. Like a puzzle about boxing.
Yeah.
The overarching meta puzzle was about boxing, and then Ashitori is like a professional,
wrestling
move.
Move.
Yeah. So.
And so we're like, how does that figure into everything? But actually, it meant that what it was as Hitori. So it was like an 8x8 grid, which is a kind of Japanese puzzle known as Hitori. So.
Yeah, and even then, you know, what the fuck. Even if we had known, God damn
no,
it.
I mean, if we'd known Hitori, we could have solved it. Like
well,
I looked
no, at, because we did because we didn't have all of the letters in the grid.
But we could have made progress on it. We you know, like so. you can back solve a lot of stuff based on that.
Yeah, it was a fucking wreck.
It was kind of a train wreck.
I'm kind of looking forward to next year because the people who won this year are the people who designed last year's Hanukkah,
which was a lot of fun.
Which was mm-hmm. I enjoyed more. I mean, I feel like I accomplished more on this one. There were more things where I was able to instrumentally work towards solving a puzzle, you know, and do it. But you know,
we had a lot of fun on like a handful of puzzles. That
oh, this is really lame. Some of the answers don't just give the answer is X. It doesn't say how you get it.
Well, they might be posting that. They might be posting solutions over the course of the next month.
Okay.
With actual.
Did you check the role playing game one to see how the fuck that's supposed to work?
What was it called?
Role playing game.
Here it is. Here's the people. The last names of the people are also the last names of various roles played by Walter Matthau.
Oh, and right, because that's an obvious jump.
Yeah.
Huh. But, I mean, I guess if you had...
If you knew all of the last names of all of Walter Matthau's characters...
Well, I mean, if you had just Googled a bunch of the last names...
That's true,
Yeah, that's fair. That's
maybe,
a fair puzzle.
Maybe, yeah.
That's a fair puzzle. Why are we thinking about Walter Matthau? I remember at some point during the mystery hunt, I was
yearning.
That came up. No, because I was watching the outtakes from Grumpy Old Men about the, like, taking one eye to Tuna Town and riding the baloney pony and then the thing about how all he does is eat bacon.
Speaking of bacon, we had some chocolate-covered bacon recently.
It's not chocolate-covered bacon. It's a chocolate bar with bits of
bacon
inside
impregnated
it.
Chocolate?
Yeah.
It's all right. It wasn't. I was disappointed with how bad it was. Like, I really wanted it to be really, really gross or good. I didn't want it to just be like,
It was kind of like salty chocolate.
Yeah.
Like salt for chocolate.
Yeah. Topspin says, anyone on the dev team play Advance Wars? I'm a huge fan of the series, and since Advance Wars Days of Ruin just came out for the DS, my free time is officially gone. I have not picked it up yet, but speaking of DS, Rip's
got
some interesting stories.
I have a copy of that, but I haven't really played with it yet. I bought this
case
like
mod.
Yeah, this case mod thing, this new shell for the DS, this transparent blue shell. Because what had happened was my touchscreen was going out of whack, and so my option was either to buy a new DS or buy a new touchscreen and attempt to install it myself. So I figured I'd do that and at the same time install it in this new shell. And it turned out that the shell was piece of shit. With, like, screw holes that weren't big enough for the screws to go in, and I had to, like, drill them out with a Dremel tool and all this shit, and just ended up not going together properly, so I took all the guts back out and put them back in my other DS, and it didn't work. And it is potentially fixable. What happens is when you turn it on, it immediately shuts back off, which it's possible that... I've read that there's the case that the lower screen is made out of metal, and there's a component on the motherboard that it's possible for that metal case to be brushing up against it and causing the DS to power off when that happens.
Huh.
So if that's what's happening, I can fix that by opening it back up again and applying a lot of scotch tape to that metal case. But
I got sick of
opening it and disassembling it and reassembling it and shutting it like twice in a row. So
did you try turning it on when it was in like open?
No.
Like an open face.
Well,
the
switch isn't easily accessible when it's not assembled. I mean,
no,
it kind of is, but...
No disassemble.
But yeah, I figured I'd just buy another one, but it turns out there's, like, a DS shortage across the country. So, probably...
Really, it might extend so far as across the entire universe.
It might be, yeah.
Yai Guru Deva. Om.
I was going to say that if you take the density of DSs... Okay.
If I can't find them before
the universe,
I get home, I'll
it's
just,
almost zero.
I'll try the fix and
true.
See if it works.
That's true. Speaking of large spaces, Mythman611 says, can I ask how you picture an area in size and how ultra rares fit into this? Because I don't think it's that hard to see a crazy bastard running around with a sword in a single alley. Well, I mean, the alley is infinitely long.
Right.
There are an infinite number of crazy bastards in it, but...
But they're different orders of infinity.
Still fairly rare.
Like, imagine that there are a countable, like, integer set of numbers of crazy bastards, right? The length of the alley is more like an uncountably infinite series of steps long. There you go.
I was reading the other day about that hotel thing, that sort of hotel infinity sort of what do they call that? What do you call a story, like an allegory? It's like an allegory that it's about the difference between countable infinity and uncountable infinity, basically.
Yeah.
Like just the whole, like, let's say that you have a hotel with an infinite number of rooms in it, and each person has, you know, each room has a person in it, so that's an infinite number of people. But you could always put one more person in there by, like, asking everybody to move down one room, you know, which they would all be able to.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And then you get somebody in the first room.
Yeah.
And furthermore, you could ask somebody, okay, move from the room that you're in right now to 2 to the your room number. Room,
or
which
you,
is still there,
and you can,
no two people would occupy the same room.
You can,
but it would
double
make
it
whole
by
bunch
having
room,
everybody
despite
move to
being,
the number twice
yeah,
the
yeah,
number
yeah,
that
yeah.
they've got. And
just,
yeah.
just I'm not entirely sure because I didn't really pay any attention in my discrete math class. I was being too discreet. I was being so discreet that I spent the entire time that I was supposed to be in that class playing that Dungeons and Dragons arcade game down at the arcade.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. We would frequently. Yeah, my friend and I would go in there, like, where do you want to sit? How about at the arcade? Go to the arcade and sit in the class.
Huh.
It became kind of a running joke, and we would actually go there to meet to go to the arcade. We would go to class to meet up to go to the arcade. No, I know, and look, you know, my life is in ruins.
Yeah.
I am nigh penniless,
what?
In a gutter, no one has ever
what
heard
has
of
playing
me.
Games done for you?
I know, man. See, kids, don't go to class. Play as many video games as
you
can.
See, we're bad. We are such bad examples for people.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the code behind KOL would be better if I'd paid attention in those classes.
You think?
Maybe I never would have done it, though. You know, maybe I would have graduated from U of I, would have gotten some horrible fucking job, and, you know, just been miserable.
Did anyone ever call it G U of I?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just asking.
G-U-I-U-C.
Isn't the university in that text-based game GUI Tech? Or am I thinking of something else? The Lurking Horror?
I don't remember.
GUI Tech? I thought it was GUI Tech.
I don't know. It's supposed to be MIT, though.
Yeah, right? Yeah. There's the brown building in the middle, which is like the green building at MIT.
I see. Yeah. Is there an enormous sponge-shaped building full of weirdos?
Simmons Hall?
Yeah.
It's a dorm.
Right. Is there a part of it that's so dangerous that even the security people refuse to go there? There's a saloon in downtown Cambridge that has been converted to a baboon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was an interesting operation.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. First they sewed a baboon head onto the top of it, and,
I mean, it's like the ship conundrum, right? If you take a ship and you take it apart one plank at a time, and you rebuild the other ship in, like, another, you know, dry dock or whatever, which one is the original ship? Like, if you take a dock, like a board out of one ship, put it over here, and replace it with a new board, and you do the same thing, and you slowly build a second ship out of all of the original parts, but the first one never ceased to exist, except for the...
Mm. Except for when the last part moves across.
So, I mean, if you take a saloon, you take it apart one piece at a time and replace it with pieces of a baboon, one part at a time, which one is the original saloon?
I mean, luckily that conundrum didn't have to be dealt with in this case because it was just a matter of spray painting some shit on the sign. Which, you know.
I mean, that's a much less interesting story, though.
It is. Tripwood says, "Will you ever consider redrawing the Spunky Princess? She looks like she has downs." Well, Tripwood, will you ever consider, you know, reevaluating your notions of what does and what does not qualify as an enemy in a role-playing game? If you think that people with Down syndrome aren't worthy of being beaten up by you and having their stuff taken, then maybe you ought to look at, maybe you ought to look inside yourself, Tripwood.
I think the unstated complaint there is that people with mental deficiency can't be spunky. And I think that's kind of insulting.
I mean, maybe we need to redraw everyone else because all of the enemies have Down syndrome.
It's true.
Faggle, whose name I like, says, "What does the Cannonball Charm bracelet do?" That finally got fixed. There was a typo in that code. I'm not positive that it's been pushed out. But, yeah. Yeah, no, it just had that explosively hilarious, which everybody kept trying to figure out what the joke was, or what the secret was, or what kind of hidden nonsense there was. Kobata says, "I'm wording this question in an intelligent manner solely to improve its chances that'll get noticed and answered later." Yeah, that was a terrible, terrible sentence. Terrible sentence. And if you hadn't set me up with the expectation that it was going to be an intelligently constructed one, I would not be sitting here railing against your terrible sentence right now. Anyway. But, is the cranberry era over? Will cranberry stuffs ever taste as good as before every Feast of Boris? Will they give lots of adventures like before ever again? Thanks for your attention. I believe that Xenophobe fixed that. So for next Feast of Boris, those will be in good shape. Rickett says, "So, can you make the black pepper easier to acquire? Better odds from the picnic basket, or even make it always drop from your first basket? At least with the barbed wire fence, there was only one other item in the zapping group." Yeah, apparently that's still problematic. I suppose we could do something, you know? I mean, we could... I don't know that it's really a problem if we were to say store a daily flag, which is the number of black picnic baskets that you've opened, and the number of peppers that have dropped. And if you open three baskets in a day without getting pepper. I mean, because we do want to chop off the tail end of RNG screw, right?
That's true.
Like, we don't want to give people tools to chop the middle off of it, but we do want to chop the tail off. You know? So, I mean, it's...
kind of like the farmer's wife, and, RNG is kind of like the blind mice.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the mechanisms that we devise are by and large, like carving knives. And and you, the player, did you ever see such a sight in your life? Tiny Plastic Parts says, "Campground revamp? Improved dwelling options? Can we have foliage options as well? I'd love to have campground space grow a strawberry bush, grapevines, or a fat stack of cash tree." That's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah.
A money tree. You know, it would be kind of cool if you could have, you know, different kinds of trees. We had tossed around the idea for a long time of a Mr. Store item that was like a tree that grew in your campground.
Yeah, just no end of debate, though.
Yeah, and I think that even... I mean, I think we... This is what we were talking about this last year when we were here, actually, because we were talking. It eventually turned into the Librum of Candy Heart summoning. Which, goddamn, it is so nice to be able to just not have to worry about doing Mr. Skills in the future because of that bookshelf mechanic. I haven't even really used it. I do want to make the change that we talked about to the tomes, though. Tiny Plastic Parts, get back to your question here in a second, but the tome thing, I think, is going to be a little too restrictive for me to be okay with it, right? So I was thinking about making it so you can use three, like, you summon snow cones one at a time, right?
How does that work with black snow cones?
We drop the chances. I mean, you get a very remote possibility of getting multiple black snow cones in a day, but whatever. I mean, we cut the chance by a third, and that you're getting exactly the same number of black snow cones over a lifetime as you would be otherwise. And it just makes it so we can do something else that's relatively powerful, like the snow cone tome, and not have it be just a one or the other thing. You know, maybe you summon one, and if you get the right kind of snow cone, then you're like, okay, now I can use the rest of my summons to do these. You know, it's more interesting choices, and it's less opportunity for people to whine about the bookshelf mechanic, you know? Because, I mean, when people whine about stuff, we can say that they're not right. We can say that we shouldn't listen to them, but we can't say that they're not annoyed, because they are, you know? So, I mean, if we can accomplish the same things that we want to accomplish while annoying fewer people, that's good, right? I mean, we're not just going to sell out and do what everybody says. Yeah, speaking of which, sorry about the pirate fledges thing. That was fucked up. I was not thinking when I did that. It was entirely my fault. I guess I thought they were a quest item to begin with, and so it didn't occur to me that they would be pullable to just skip the entire first part of that content that we labored so long and so hard on. And that was content that everybody kind of agreed on, except for a handful of people who were still pissed off about the insult book.
I mean, we're never going to do content by committee.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Especially content by itty-bitty titty committee.
California.
No, I didn't say the shitty titty pretty city committee.
Eventually we're just going to have so many referential inside jokes that we won't ever have to utter any content again.
That'll be all that we say.
Just I think that's what Riff was saying earlier. Like when we're in the nursing home, we're just going
to
be sitting around, like, you know, like that, like in that joke, 17.
Yeah.
Anybody who doesn't know that joke,
fuck them.
Fuck you. Yeah. Like, you can look it up. Look up 17
on the internet.
Google. Yeah, you'll find it. Anyway, Tiny Plastic Parts asked about the campground revamp. I started working on that, and then Jeremy from Microsoft was all like approaching it from an actual GUI design standpoint, you know, like looking at it professionally, and like I'm like, yeah, so I'm making this change to the way the dwellings work in the campground. He's like, why? What's the benefit to the end user? Like, wow. That's a good point. There really isn't any right now. Like, this is a change that I am making solely to make things easier for me. But, so you may have noticed that dwellings in your campground are now,
18 stories tall.
Right. Yep. 8 miles high, actually. And from the top of them, you can see for miles and miles.
Jeremy from Microsoft, that's his moniker?
I don't know. Does he have a handle that we could use? What was his frat homo name?
Squid Devil.
Squid Devil? That's not even easy to say.
The nicknames are not necessarily meant for convenience, you jerk. Sometimes people are just squid devils.
I think they're meant to just piss me off, apparently, if every single one of them that I've ever heard is any indication.
Wow. You call Paladin.
I don't know his name.
So there you go. Does it piss you off?
It's Cyrus is Kraken.
Yeah.
Kraken is Cyrus. What's Paladin's real name? Eric?
Eric.
Okay, so I knew it was Eric.
Faggot Ridge, everybody.
I'm gonna stop calling him Paladin. Yeah, there is a person named Paladin who lives at Fuzzle Faggot Ridge.
Well, he does kind of look like a paladin, especially when he had the beard.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He's got that sort of white glow of holiness about him. He's a crusader. You may have noticed, those among you who are paying attention or happen to have done some of this recently, that campground dwellings are now handled in a more standardized way. You can replace any dwelling with any other dwelling.
Even which, instant.
Yeah, which is a little bit of a problem, right?
Well, I mean...
the thing is, if there were not better dwellings than the house, I would be more worried about that, right? So, I mean, keeping the house...
I mean...
As a long ascended character, you know, whatever. Status and lore. I mean, the thing is, there are... You know, that's kind of... Nobody else can see it, really. So that's kind of the same thing as, like,
About making campgrounds visitable.
I mean, let's... We could... I know. We will give people a set of tools to turn their campgrounds into their own personalized virtual worlds.
We could call it, tuned life. Tuned life? Because it's all two-dimensional.
Tuned life. Everyone in it could be a rad dude with a rad tude.
Yeah.
That is the one funny thing that I've gotten out of Dinosaur Comics, was, at one point he describes himself as a rad dude with a rad tude, which that is a good turn of phrase.
The one
funny thing I've ever seen in Dinosaur Comics. You heard it here, folks. God. There has only ever been one. Okay, the swimming pool full of golf balls was kind of funny too.
How are you just not?
Because every day I go to Cyanide and Happiness.
Yeah.
Not every day. Like once a week I go to Cyanide and Happiness, and every comic is at least a little bit funny. Every 6 months, I go to Dinosaur Comics, and I read back 20 or 30 until I finally find something that's kind of a little bit funny.
Are you reading in backwards order?
Probably,
see,
yeah.
That, maybe that's part of your problem.
Yeah, maybe I need to start from the beginning.
You
need
some narrative.
So, maybe they're so much less funny in the beginning that, like, I should be thanking my lucky stars that they're so hysterical now.
Do you read them and then read the mouse over?
Yeah.
And then read the email two-header?
I don't read the
I usually
email
skip
header,
the... Yeah, I forget about
the
email
mouse,
two-header.
I read the mouse. Yeah.
The mouse-over is... Sometimes it will be sort of ha-ha.
I need
the
that...
mouse-over is like the punctus, the...
God, pardon me, kids. I'm getting over a cold, and I've got a...
Yeah, Jick did not get sick... No, sorry. Jick... Hot Stuff did not get sick after Mystery Hunt, which is what's happened every year since I've done it.
You didn't get sick last year.
I got sick last year.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't remember you being sick while we were here last year.
I was definitely ill.
It sucks. I got a cold on Christmas, and then I, like, already have another fucking cold. I mean, it's going away. I've been miserable the last few days, though. That was the thing. Like, Thursday, we didn't have any splitters. I'd forgotten to bring any headphone splitters.
And I left mine.
Hot Stuff left all his in Phoenix. And, the town that I live in, not my wife.
Probably.
You know, who knows what she's doing with our stuff while we're gone. But, I did not have it in me to do a show by myself because my voice was cashed and my head was all hurting. Yeah, getting a little better, though. I'm
worried that Jick is now watching all of Buffy the Vampire Slayer from beginning to end, and,
I am, yeah.
And I'm worried that he's going to associate it with being ill and have bad memories of it because of that.
I mean, I'm liking it. I was like sad last night because I was like, I'm going to sleep. Oh man, I'm way too tired to watch an episode of Buffy. And that was like my last thought as I went to sleep. And I was like sad that I wasn't watching any Buffy. So yeah, no. I'm gonna get through it. Although I don't know what's gonna happen when I get. Wife says she'll watch it with me. She doesn't care about the continuity or seeing it, but like. It's not like I'm not allowed to watch it.
You're going to end up explaining to her a lot of insight.
Yeah,
but that's fine.
So, you know, she's not going to force me to watch something that we both want to watch in lieu of me finishing Buffy. So, Scully will be happy. Although, I got to say, I agree with you, Hot Stuff, and disagree vehemently with Scully about the first season because it's just kind of bad.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell that... I will admit that you can tell that it has potential. You can think, okay, with better writing, a better budget, and if it was taking itself just a little bit more seriously, this could be a really good show. And then in the second season, it delivers unto you all of those things as though they were listening to your prayers. Yeah, so, Campground Dwellings. There are some things that remain that I need to do, and I am always reluctant to add new... I'm always reluctant to add new types of which there are only one token, right? Like, I want to make it so feng shui is of a class of decorations that you can apply to your dwelling, right? Which go away when you get rid of the dwelling, which effectively makes those things consumable.
A lot more.
Which they really need to be because they drop at non-equipment drop rates. So, like, there are just thousands and thousands and thousands of those fountains, you know? Which is not to say that they're going to really get consumed, because who rests, you know? We may end up putting some things in resting that are enticing enough for people to actually do it, in which case, you know, it'll be, you know, it's like a trophy for resting 1,000 times, you know? Like, haha, look what you did. But, okay, so I want the feng shui to use the book, and if you have the wind chimes and the fountain, it becomes a feng shui decorating kit, which then you use that in the same way that you use dwellings, right? Like, it... instead of taking up a space on your campsite, it just goes into...
Modifies your
dwelling and changes your resting, changes the dreams that you get or whatever. Like, and a lot of this is contingent on resting becoming a zone. Or not contingent on, but related to at least, right? So I haven't done that. One of the big projects that I'm working on right now requires a space in the campground. So I'm thinking that I'm probably going to end up doing this campground stuff, at least to some extent, before I do that. The other thing is the beanbag chair and gauze hammock, which there are two of those, at least. But
there really only need to be two.
Yeah.
Really.
But, I mean, we might as well. We can make them a lot better. You know, we could say, all right, the beanbag chair gives you plus 30 mana when you rest. The gauze hammock gives you plus 50 hit points when you rest, but why not have something that you can make, you know, that gives you plus 10 hit points? I mean, use something earlier. Like, don't put in new drops or whatever, but use some underused thing from earlier in the game.
A barskin
rug or whatever. I mean, you know, like...
It's like a hammock only on the ground.
Yeah.
All right.
But something like that, you know. I mean, then we more fully develop the resting thing.
If you're bald, you could wear a barskin rug as well.
Yeah, that is the truth. Anyway, that'll free up two spaces, one of which I'm immediately going to take up with something else. Yeah.
Well, with the bookcase, which is hovering above the campsite.
The bookcase is supposed to be over to the left.
What?
If you have the telescope, the bookcase is over to the left. Like,
okay.
It doesn't have the same kind of... Yeah, it's fucked up. It's a mess, right?
Cocked up.
I also think that I'm going to... And this doesn't help, because this is only a half image, but I'm going to remove the golden arches from the campsite. What I want is to just make it so you combine the arches, and then you use the golden arches. It gives you 3 or 4 infernal food items.
Oh.
And then it is consumed.
Really?
Right, because that makes that consumable.
It is
a nerf, but it is a nerf that makes that part of the game, you know, the joke is still there.
Right.
Everything about it is still preserved, except that it becomes more consumable. It becomes more in line with something that we would do now that we know better.
And to make it less of a nerf, we could add in the Children's Meal of the Damned.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
as a rare.
Now that isn't going to happen until we think of something for that to do. I mean, we had the idea, right, of like, you know, there were 5 different toys that you got that combined it. And you know,
like
maybe we used the, like, Deathbot mechanism or whatever, but we've already done that. We did it with the Deathbot. That, however, was limited time content, which not everybody gets to get. There's a lot of shit in this game.
It just keeps... And we just keep coming up with more.
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
Yep. I wonder sometimes, you know, if it wouldn't, like, coming into this game and looking in the mall now, if you wouldn't just be like...
What the fuck, dude?
Yeah, if you wouldn't feel the way I felt when I first played Daggerfall, which is like...
Daggerfall?
It was the game before Morrowind. Either all the way before Morrowind or just before Morrowind.
This is why we don't let people into the mall to the level 5. So they're already sort of invested.
Okay, that's a good point. That is why we do that.
The flea market has a bunch of stuff, but...
The flea market is at least in categories, but still, a lot of those categories have hundreds and hundreds of things in them, which, you know...
The non-observant person will think that there's probably duplicates in there.
Why is the auction house... World of Warcraft has, what,
more
hundreds of thousands of distinct items?
Tens of thousands.
Really?
I don't know that it's
I thought there were recorded item IDs that were into the hundreds of thousands. Like your item database add-on that
only
keeps
has
track of
30 or 40,000.
Oh, 30 or 40,000. Still, it's 30 or 40,000 items.
Yeah, yeah, which is ten times as many as we have.
Yet the auction house is not
daunting.
Yeah.
Have you ever just hit search with nothing in the search field?
Well, sure.
Okay.
But
it only displays 200 items at a time.
Right, but I mean it also has 100 or 200 categories when you're searching for stuff. Because I mean,
if you open up all the submenus,
there is a tremendous amount of stuff in World of Warcraft that is obviously, absolutely irrelevant to a given character. I mean, and also there's level cap issues. So you know when you see anything with a high level requirement, you know that's not appropriate. Anyway,
I guess we don't have a filter. We don't have any kind of filter for level requirements. That would drastically cut down the stuff that a new player would see. Or quasi-drastically.
Yeah. Topspin says, thanks for implementing the Fledges' outfit idea. It will make the Cove a much more fruitful place to adventure for high-level players. Yep. The all-knowing pants says, I don't understand why you buy wads at 7 meat a piece in the mall and sell them for 5 meat.
What?
especially since the minimum price for any object in the mall is 100 meat.
Yeah.
Whatever.
What are you talking about?
Maybe it's the...
Also, awesome new content. I love listening to the show at work in my MP3 player. It actually got me playing again. I can't wait to ascend and see what I've missed. I've heard from a surprising number of people who don't play anymore but still listen to the radio shows, which seems weird to me.
Huh. That's interesting.
I mean, they get, like... It's weird that, like, 1,000 people listen to these, you know? Like, that's a lot of fucking people.
That's true.
What are you guys all doing? Why?
It's like comedy in a bottle.
I mean, I guess we're funny. I mean, it just makes me feel guilty when we suck, you know. When I do shows that are mostly just stammering, because I do that pretty frequently.
Still kind of funny though.
It's okay.
You know, if something isn't funny, you can just repeat it until it is.
I found a new doctor who helps me with all of my cold symptoms, and his name is Dr. Jack Daniels.
I was going to say Dr. Jameson.
Mythman611 says, Jick, I find it interesting that KOL community and forums play like history. The small, violent minority are the talkative ones, making it seem like that's what the whole group wants. I don't know that that's how history works.
Huh. Yeah, I would have you read... like people's history in the United States, and read what the small violent minority felt, and realize that isn't at all what we think of when we think of history.
I was just thinking about that. Somebody gave me that book, and I never ended up reading it.
It's good. It's a good book.
I just I read enough of it to come to the conclusion that Pearl Harbor was our fault, and that was enough for me. I'm like, okay,
You like skip to the end?
No, I just skipped to the part about Pearl Harbor, because I was just curious. I was like, all of the shit that's happened in the last, 5 years has made me really wonder, I wonder if that actually went down the way people say that it did.
The Pearl Harbor thing or the Iraq?
No, Pearl Harbor.
Oh, okay.
I mean, just because you can't believe anything that the fucking government tells you, ever.
Yeah, no,
you know?
I mean, yeah.
And so...
All of the lies that were...
But see, then, at least, I feel like it was the right thing to do for us to get involved in World War II.
Right.
Like, because the world would have been seriously fucked up if we had not sort of exercised our might to right some wrongs. But having to lie to the people to get them to support it, you know, is that unethical? It's not. I don't know. I don't know if I think it is unethical or not. I think it is alarming that it worked so well.
I mean, so then you have the Bay of Tompkins thing, right?
I don't actually know enough about that. I know that the Gulf of Tonkin resolution is what got...
Right, so the Gulf of Tonkin thing, we claimed that a ship had been attacked, the Gulf of Tonkin, by Vietnamese forces or whatever, and that's what sort of allowed us to escalate our presence in Vietnam, and it was a complete fabrication. Complete. Not Bay of Tonkin, Gulf of Tonkin. Bay of Pigs.
Right. That was that bay with all the Cuban missiles in it, right?
Yeah. Which turned out to be just cigars, people.
My social studies education was just woefully inadequate in public school. We got
up to World War II and stopped. Like, every time I've ever taken a history class, you know, you get up to World War II and then you're done. You have, like, no recent history.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is.
Recent history is just full of embarrassments. You know, you can't. How are you going to explain Vietnam to high school kids without just saying, like, yeah, fucking, you know, burn down a post office? Like, nobody has your back. If you want to vote, you have to volunteer to die for some retarded reason, you know, like, that nobody ever really tells you about. Yeah. Just read Starship Troopers.
So depressing.
Hey, at least we're too old to get drafted now.
Well, the first round of drafts.
Well, I mean, if we were, like, doctors, we would not be too old to get drafted, but... Like,
no, I mean...
Quick, the Army needs you to design some video games, like...
No, but the, like...
There aren't any 22-year-olds willing to do the job.
As soon as there aren't any more 18 to 30-year-olds, we'll be next, you know?
Yeah. We'll be next on a fucking train to Canada.
Well, yeah. There were websites back in the day when Bush was elected to, of Canadians willing to marry Americans so that they could get citizenship in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And, the same kind of website exists for Americans to get health care in Canada now, too. Because it's universal health care up there.
Huh.
Oh, man. The cartoon character puzzle was fucked up.
Which one?
How did it work?
I mean, not
so what?
Not like
the
broken.
The two
but
identical panels.
Stupid hard.
So this puzzle was two identical pictures of a group of characters from various cartoons on a soccer field.
Right.
All of whom had numbers on their jerseys, and it was two identical copies of the same picture.
Yes, that apparently was the clue that was supposed to tell you that all of these animals are species of animals that have been successfully cloned.
Huh.
You take the difference between the year that animal was first cloned and its jersey number to get a letter, and then you order that by the year that cartoon character was introduced. What
Jesus
the fuck?
Christ. Did anybody solve that?
Oh my god.
I don't know.
That is so
What hilarious. Was the what was the flavor text again?
I don't want to have to download the PDF.
That is ridiculous.
I mean, it was a single sentence.
Yeah.
Wow.
We could not even identify all of the cartoon
characters. Yeah,
there were
like two or three.
Three that just nobody had any idea. Maybe two. Somebody from the remote team came in and figured out one of the missing three.
So, I mean, was there a sheep on there?
There was a sheep.
There was a sheep.
Wow.
Which Mr. Mag recognized, I think, from watching kids' cartoons. It was like Sheep in the Big City or something.
Yeah.
That's funny. That becomes a useful skill to have. Having
the ferret thing was apparently Vice Coach Horace Ferret from the 2005 thing My Gym Partner's a Monkey. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
I've seen it. Like, I've been flipping through the channel guide, like, I've seen that My Gym Partner is a Monkey on Nickelodeon or something. I mean, that's fair, you know?
I guess that's fair.
A character from a current Nickelodeon cartoon is not just completely beyond recognition for people trying to solve these
problems. Well, I mean, if you only had to recognize a couple of characters and you figure out the whole cloning thing, then it's not going to be a problem.
Yeah, because you're just missing a couple of letters. But
yeah, it's these gigantic leaps of logic that make puzzles, right? You know, yeah. like to some extent, but puzzles. I think the distinction in this year's Mystery Hunt was that each puzzle had 2 to 5 leaps that you had to make, whereas most years Mystery Hunt puzzles have 2 to 3, and that like extra fourth or fifth one just is just boggling, because you'll get something and you won't know if you're even on the right track.
Yeah. Well, plus yeah. I mean, two identical images supposed to clue you about cloning. That's a fucking hell of a leap to make.
That's kind of a serious.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say that if there had been 2 of each animal in one picture,
that
still would have been pretty hard.
Yeah, but it might not as bad though. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I'm saying, like, I think they could have done that, and it would not have made it a trivially solvable puzzle, because, like, it's... Jesus. If any two of them had the same number, it would have also helped clue that the numbers were important as value rather than as ordering.
The numbers weren't important in ordering.
They were.
Not the ordering. You used
the numbers, okay, they were important in terms of the... Well, they were. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That if any two of them had been the same,
oh, you would have known that ordering wasn't.
Then you would have known that you were getting value rather than ordering out of those numbers. Maybe. Maybe you wouldn't have. Maybe you. I don't know. Maybe you would have just stared at it and then gone to work on something else. Because what the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, some puzzles that we don't solve, we look at and we're like, oh, okay, clever. But a lot of them, we look at and we're like, fuck that noise, you know. Yeah, anyway. Hoopity says, "Hey guys, I've been exploring the good side of board games recently with some friends. I'm the Boss and Settlers of Catan as examples, and I wonder if any of you asymmetric folk have a favorite board game to speak of. Please don't say Monopoly, the DMV of board games." Now, Monopoly is terrible.
Yeah, no. I have a long history with Monopoly, because I was, as an only child, it was one of the few board games we had, and I would play it by myself. Because my mom wouldn't play with me. And I hope she feels sad now.
Yeah. Well. I was also an only child who liked board games.
I like board games.
See, why couldn't we have known each other as kids, Hot Stuff? We would have made good brothers.
Yeah.
Because we could have played board games together. And then we would hate each other as adults.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You would have beaten me up as a kid.
Like we do.
The solution given to the genealogy puzzle is not the same puzzle. It's like... It looks like it's the solution to a first draft of the puzzle with different clues.
Oh, jeez.
Ah, come on, guys.
What do we like for board games?
Betrayal at House on the Hill is surprisingly replayable.
I'm not going to say that it is a really good game, but I've had a tremendous amount of fun with it.
It's fun, and it has, unlike a lot of other board games, you don't really get bored of it, per se.
I mean, there have been several times when we have sat down and played 3 games of it in a row.
Yeah.
Which, you know, for a game that takes an hour is saying something. I have to say I would not recommend Ape Games' Order of the Stick game. That we played a game that took, I'm pretty sure it took more than 8 hours for us to play it.
I wasn't there.
Riff, am I wrong when I say that game, that we were playing that same game for 8 hours?
Which one was that?
The Order of the Stick.
Oh, right.
I honestly feel like we started it at like 8 p.m. and did not finish the game until 4 a.m.
I don't know if it was that long, but I would certainly say it was 6.
Yeah.
Puerto Rico is a good game.
We bought that on your recommendation, but have yet to actually play it.
Carcassonne is good. Especially the two-player one. The castle is really good.
Some variant of the Hunters and Gatherers.
Yeah, Hunters and Gatherers.
That's the only one I've played. I've not played the original.
Oh.
It's fun.
Yeah.
So if you like Settlers, I mean, there's a bunch of Settlers variants. I mean, it has a lot of replay value. The Seafarers is not particularly fun, but Cities and Knights is really good. all the 5 and 6 player expansion stuff is good. Cities and Nights is actually really valuable because it rebalances the game in a really positive way. Not that the original game was broken in any way, but it can take a long time between you actually getting to do anything. Whereas Cities and Nights, you get to do something on every player's turn, which is nice. There's Starfarers of Catan, which I've never actually heard of anybody in the world playing because it is so complicated. What's another fun board game? If Lord of the Rings has a board game, which is fun.
Wally was talking to me about that game for some reason.
It's a class of game that, as far as I know, is relatively new. It's a cooperative game where the board, it's like the players playing against the board. I had never heard of a game like that. Apparently there are a couple others out there.
I really like that idea. That's the neat...
It's fun.
Okay,
what I was going to say is it was fun, but once you know what the board has on it, it becomes a lot less enjoyable because you can kind of metagame, if you will, and collectively decide what you're going to do at which points, you know, because it makes a lot of sense to hold on to particular cards for later and stuff. The first couple of times you play it, it's really fun, but it doesn't have nearly as much replay value. But I don't know.
We've had some enjoyable experiences, sort of, with Arkham Horror. Arkham Horror, I feel like, would be a very good game if it required significantly less setup. Like, if you could play Arkham Horror on, like, one of those tabletop computers that you see the videos for. Yeah, if you basically had a computer assisting you with keeping track of this stuff. Because Arkham Horror has a lot of things like... It has, like, 40 decks of cards, right?
Yeah.
And 40 decks of cards which collectively hold about as much information as a sheet of paper. And so why couldn't you just roll dice on a sheet of paper? Like, right. the cards... It seems like a lot of decisions made to make Arkham Horror more palatable to people who aren't used to playing tabletop role-playing games. So, like, rolling dice on a chart is not the kind of thing they want you to do, but, like... I feel like playing a computer version of Arkham Horror would be a tremendous amount of fun.
Yeah.
If you're willing to step outside the board game thing, I played a game of Gloom, which is a card game.
Gloom is pretty fun.
And it was pretty fun. I've only played one game of it, and it was with an expansion or two added, so I don't actually know what the base game is like.
I bought it and I played it. It is not... It is not a lot of fun with two people because,
I'd recommend at least three or four.
Yeah, like my wife and I played a couple games of it, and it was just, you know, it was just like, yeah.
you don't have enough people to screw over.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, you can't help but, you know, you're playing the game trying to have fun, but then it's like one of you has to stab the other in the back, and it's like, when is that going to happen? And so you're either playing to win, and you end up feeling like an asshole, you know, because there's no. I don't know what makes that okay in, like, a four-player game, right? I mean, like, I don't know what makes it okay in a four-player game for, like, subtle allegiances to get formed. I mean, I guess because you know that there are enough permutations of it that are likely to come up in future games that it's not... Nobody can take anything personally,
well,
right?
And, you know, you tend to ally against whoever's in the lead, you know? And so it's always easy to hate the person who's winning.
Yeah.
And then...
Which is always a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. Which game are you talking about? I was distracted.
Gloom.
I've never heard of
it.
It
is a card game which primarily is centered around cards which are mostly transparent.
Oh, I've
which
seen
you, you
that.
Overlay
yeah.
on other. Yeah, we have it. We have not picked up the expansion, but maybe we will when
at
when,
least one or two expansions was seemed like a really good idea because there's a bunch
there
of
only one that was available.
I don't.
It added an entirely new category of card. Like houses for your people to live in, or something.
There's houses, and then there's like extended families or house guests or something. Right. Stuff like that.
Those are both in the same expansion.
I thought there was also an expansion just with more cards or something.
I don't know. I mean, part of the fun of that to me is coming up with stories about the things that you're doing to the character because it's basically you're trying to make as many bad things befall your family of people as you can.
Yeah, you're trying to kill your own.
And the cards tend to be, you know. Bothered by bees or strangled by serpents or whatever.
But I mean, like some of the neat stuff is like, you know, you get a bonus if two of the things that killed two of your characters rhyme and like, you know, like
yeah.
It's just there's just a bunch of
and,
layers
and like
to
a
it
lot
that's
of like
neat.
Like you can make characters you can, like, certain cards will cause characters to fall in love, and then there are things that you can only use on on a character if he is in love, or you can't use on him if he is in love, or whatever. And, like, the, you know, there's... And there aren't a lot of rules, you know? It's easy to just sit down and play it.
Yeah.
What I was going to say, though, the nice thing about Betrayal at House on the Hill is that it is a cooperative game, effectively, until... the sort
Betrayal.
Of end game phase, at which point one guy becomes the bad guy and then has to go off in a different room and read one of, you know, 80 scenarios, like finding out, you know, what sort of minions he gets to control during the end game or whatever. And it's, you know, every game is very different, and you know, like, what tends to happen in that game is that the good guys win, but just barely.
Yeah.
And that...
It's been really nicely balanced almost every time
we've
played.
Which is so weird.
Yeah, we've played a couple of games, and you'd think with 80 scenarios it would be really hard to balance them. So, and maybe we've got lucky on some of them. You know, maybe some of them are really unbalanced, but we just happen to, you know, we just happen to roll favorably or have... I mean, I feel like we also... We are fairly judicious about, like, taking every opportunity that we can to, like, level up during the early phase of the game. Like, we will stall progress through the game so that we can all rush for bonuses that are that are sitting there on the board. It's also got that kind of neat thing where you build the house as you play.
Yeah.
You draw tiles for rooms on different floors, and you know, then it's like you'll draw a card and that card will say, like, okay, this room has a secret passage leading to this other room, so you put the secret passage tile here, and then play another room and put the other secret passage tile in that room. So then you end up with an interesting topology, and plus it's all haunted houses, so it's like
And then the betrayals are all different genres, so that sometimes it's like aliens or cultists.
Sometimes you know,
ghosts.
Turns out one of you is an evil scientist, and you put everybody else in a shrink ray, and so you know your house cat is chasing them. Like, it's like this. It's got this total like sort of array of B movie. Yeah, we basically cannot recommend Betrayal at House on the Hill highly enough to be. You have to have four or five people to play it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Like, it's.
Puerto Rico is very well balanced and a lot of fun, but doesn't really have the sort of flavor. And I couldn't tell you stories about really awesome Puerto Rico games that we'd played. You know, like, there's a couple of really... Once you've played it a couple times, you'll see that there's, like, three or four different sort of dominant strategies, and people tend to pick one of those and go for them and stuff like that. That Puerto Rico has almost no random chance. It is almost all strategy.
Yeah.
And it's, which is interesting. You know, like, those kinds of games are really interesting.
Vaginal Bloodfart says, "Hey, Jick, I remember you lamenting the stupidity of GTA's realistic treadmill simulator. I found something that tops it. I got my daughter Pets 2 Horses for the Wii, which includes a hosing horse shit from a stall simulator. I watched her do it 6 times, and then I made her go read a book." And then he says, "There was once talk about a traveling PvP trophy of some sort. Has this been given any more consideration?" In that... There is a thread in the dev forum, which is, it is entitled, "A Kick-Ass PvP System in 30 Minutes," and that indicates a pretty serious failure to understand how long it actually takes to change things in the game. Like, it probably to do everything in that thread would take, like, 10 or 12 hours. So, their assertion is that with a few minor changes, we could make PvP very interesting in its current state. My assertion is that if we're going to spend that much time on it, that we should reimagine PvP into something that is innately interesting and satisfying.
How you said you could implement that in like an hour?
I said ten to twelve hours.
Some of it I could
implement in an hour. You know, it depends. But one of the things was basically something that they were describing as like Calvin Ball, which is more hot potato than Calvin.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with Calvin Ball as stated, but. But basically this item that gets passed around and everybody can tell who has it, and so everybody PvP's that person, and you know, you get...
It's going to take a lot longer for us to do a better PvP system, though. It seems like it might be worth it just to implement some or all of that just as a stopgap to give them something to do until we come up with a good PvP system.
Yeah. I hate PvP.
I hear you, man.
It needs to be its own game, you know? It needs to be its own game separate from the main game.
You say that, and, you know, I will remind you that the thing that let you get your first character to level 70, or 60, I guess, in World of Warcraft was being on a PvP server.
Well, sure. But that was... The PvP game in World of Warcraft is playing World of Warcraft, except you're playing against another person instead of a AI mob, right? PvP in Kingdom of Loathing is not like that.
Could it be?
Well, I don't think so. I mean,
we've talked about, you know, sort of real time interaction in other games.
Right.
We have a working prototype
We have a working prototype of a fun player versus player game that is just something we've been fucking around with.
Yeah.
And it is fun.
And it's
it is
it's
fun.
HTML
but,
and real time.
Right. It is just some Ajax stuff which we could do, but it uses rules that were constructed specifically for a game where PvP play was going to be the same as PvE play.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. You know, I think ideally what we would have is we would have a PvP game that looked like you were fighting a monster.
Right.
Right? But
it was
the skills would have to do different things. All of the skills would have to do different things.
Would they?
Yeah, because you can't just entangling noodle another player and then cast 5 sauce storms on them, because that isn't fun. Well, it's fun for you, but it's not fun for the other. It's not fun for the other player.
You know, what if we had gear that reflected spells and stuff? I mean,
well, but I mean, that's the thing. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I don't mean to be playing devil's advocate here, but I mean,
It would be great. It would be great. It would just be a fuck ton of work.
Sure.
It basically would involve
coming up with an entirely new fight script.
Yeah, the fight script, which is, you know, so I mean, we knock out familiars. That's a big chunk of it. I mean, let's discuss this. People like hearing stuff like this.
Yeah.
What do we have? Ascension makes it a nightmare, right? People having every skill.
Yeah.
That well, makes it kind of a nightmare.
Except it also makes it easier to balance in some sense, right? Because you know that you just assume that everyone has every skill.
Everyone has every skill, right. But I mean, then the person who's best off in PvP is... okay. One problem with this is that we have people who are level 999, and
right.
we have people who are level 4.
Right.
So, those people have wildly variant stats and numbers of hit points and whatever.
Right.
I wonder what would happen if we tried to just construct a player versus player game where all it was your stats... And all you could do was hit each other with a weapon back and forth until you ran out of hit points. Right? You get locked in a PvP fight the same way you get locked in a regular fight.
Yeah.
I wonder how that would work. Right?
I don't think it would be very much fun, but...
No, it would just be a foregone conclusion, right?
Right.
But the thing is, are you unhittable? Like, if your Moxie is 11 higher than another player's muscle, are you unhittable unless they critical?
I don't know.
I mean, the thing is, I think that what we have to do is we have to just write...
If someone who's level 900 can't PvP because no one else is within range of them...
Then maybe they need to ascend and become...
I don't know that I really care. Like, making PvP only balanced, you know, for the first 20 levels, I think that's okay.
I don't know.
I honestly think that's okay. Because... You know, or maybe the first 30 levels, because there'll probably still be enough people.
But
in that
I don't
band.
Think that. I mean, what stops them? What stops the one person that's level 999 from? I mean, I guess nobody will ever fight them, right? Like they have to. They have to. So. But I mean, let's imagine that we just take the most fundamental aspects of gameplay: your stats, your equipment.
Yeah.
Right. Your equipment basically only insofar as it impacts your stats and your damage, right? I mean...
And then there's buffs.
Right.
And spells.
There's a billion effects.
Right.
You know? There's...
I don't know the answer. It's a lot of careful analysis to make it actually fun. And tacking that onto a game that was never meant to be PvP in that way would be kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah. But I mean, I honestly think that it might be possible. I mean, it is... What it does is it is another one of those things that we keep doing to ourselves, which is we...
Imagine a gigantic project.
Whenever we want to add a skill, we now have to consider how that skill is going to function in PvE and how that skill is going to function in PvP.
If every skill did two different things...
Right. Which it would have to. That's the thing. Like, you know, we could try and develop a game where you were just fighting against another player in real time, and the skills did... You know, the skills just did different things, you know? Maybe Entangling Noodles gives you... It dispels all of your physical good effects and gives you -10% strength until it wears off or whatever. You know, like, I don't know. I don't know how to conceive of it. I mean, it seems like it would... It would be fun. It's fun to think about, you know? Yeah. It's fun to imagine what we would do if we were like, okay, we're starting with these skills, and they are basically just the name of the skill. You know, the passives probably just do whatever they do, because initiative still works.
Right.
Item drop doesn't...
It's been requested that I kick you in the dick.
By whom?
Karu.
Oh.
Because
Riff's sitting there reading all the puzzle answers from the
yeah,
mystery.
Sorry. I'll pay attention.
All right, well, I'm going to give you guys no choice but to have some Riff talking, because I'm going to go...
Well, we could also either do that or take a music break.
I don't
want
to take a musical break. Do we need to?
I don't know. I need to go
use to go piss?
The little boys.
Because I need to go piss and get some... I need to go piss and get some more whiskey. So I'm going to do that while you guys talk about
it. It's like a filter.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Are we taking a music break, or are you just going yourself?
You guys are talking.
So you get to sit and wait for... Okay.
Yeah, I do. Hurry up.
Oh, man. I'm so far from the door.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm closer. I got halfway there from where I was before.
I could just pee on your computer. That.
Well, it's on your bed.
Oh, yeah. By the way, this is this particular episode of... A Fuzzle Faggot Ridge Theater is being broadcast from my bedroom.
Woo!
Boudoir.
Karu says she didn't mean it.
What?
Oh, yeah, wait. Now she says, oh, nah, you can totally kick him in the dick.
Well, all right, then.
So, what are we going to talk about?
I don't know. Mystery Hunt more, I think.
Okay.
Because that makes me angry.
I'm a little ticked that... Almost all of the puzzles, I'm really interested in seeing how they worked. All they did was
just
give
the
answer. Yeah.
I hope that changes, because that would...
Yeah,
be
I hope they keep updating it.
I'm hoping that next year... I was... This year was not really good. I didn't really... Our team got a new server for our, like, collaborative software thing, which was not ready until 2 days before the hunt. So, like, mm-hmm. I didn't... There had been a bunch of people from KOL that had asked to... be informed, and I hadn't really kept them up to date, because there was just nothing to tell them until it was too late, and then a lot of people didn't log in until like Sunday, so they didn't, you know, it just in the end it was badly organized on our part and not ideal.
Yeah, but I mean, dang, it was not a fun hunt. There were one or two fun puzzles, like the lolcats puzzle was
yeah.
neat. And the sliding 36 animated tile puzzle that I solved was fun, but yeah, for the most part it was just the overall theme was really lame, and
it was just boring. It was sort of generic.
Yeah, and the puzzles for the most part were just very colorless and uninteresting, and they were very outrageously difficult and just required far too much of a logical leap to get them.
And there were a lot. Like, you know, with puzzles of this difficulty, you'd think that they would have toned down the number of puzzles, but there were tons. There were 120 regular puzzles, and then at least 12 meta puzzles or whatever. Maybe more. Maybe 20. So, I mean, that's a lot of puzzles.
It was nuts. However, it did inspire me to start working on a third puzzle contest of my own for the community.
Do it and get
You need to get the hat trick, man.
It's gonna be tough though, because there's a lot of people. Unless all of us join up, that might be our strategy.
But I'm gonna take the things I learned from this mystery hunt and apply that. So there's gonna be lots and lots of
120 theme. Puzzles.
Yeah, no, I have to come up with more puzzles. I haven't got enough ideas yet. But it's gonna be heavily themed and very interesting. I think. I hope. But I'm not making any predictions as to when it is actually going to happen.
That'd be kind of funny if you didn't actually announce it. And part of the
part of the puzzle was realizing that it had started.
There is a web page on the internet with puzzles posted. If you can find it, you can start solving them. Now I'm going to take my turn.
You're taking your pee break. Did I miss anything exciting?
I pissed on your computer.
Oh, I wondered why it. I didn't wonder anything at all. What'd you guys talk about while I was gone, Riff?
Mystery Hunt.
Oh, yeah. So, we're an hour and 20 minutes into the show, and I think we've answered two questions.
Excellent.
But, you know, we have another show in 3 days, so you know. Vaginal Blood Fart says, so I've got a nasty sinus cold going. Should I stay home from work or go in early to lick the mouses of the coworkers I despise? Yeah.
Ew.
Let's see. Unknown says, are you going to rolls one by one, hilarious, or a few in the same update? That is a very confusing sentence, but I think I know what you mean. I don't know, man. There are three new hilarious items that are spindled and just need to be coded. I think it is entirely decided what they're going to do, right?
I believe so.
Maybe that's something pretty sure. Spend half an hour on and just get them done. Or you could tell Zeno. Zeno's working on some of his own kind of stuff. He's working on a really cool optional interface.
I haven't seen that yet. Is it cool?
I am going to just immediately start using it as soon as it is done, because it is cool as hell.
Awesome.
Zeno's new thing that he's working on, and he's pretty excited about it. So I'm just kind of letting him finish it. But maybe after he's done with that, and in the absence of anything else to work on while we're out here, we can have him do the coding for the hilarious objects.
All the I think all the notes that are necessary for how they're intended to work are in the ideas for future grimoire items wiki thread.
Oh yeah.
So he or you can code those up anytime.
Gleeb says, in honor of season 2 of Fuzzle Faggot Ridge, how about telling us the story of how Hot Stuff joined Asymmetric?
That's interesting, I guess.
So really. he totally hacksrode my network's my domain registration. And by hacksrode, I mean he totally did a whoIs and kingdomofloathing.com. Now, at some point, there was like a meat bug in the wild, and you...
I called you.
Yeah, you whoised Kingdom of Loathing, and you called me.
No, what it was somebody was in Boozer Bear's account, and that's when I called you. And somebody had been in there earlier, and you had plugged what you thought was the hole, and then they were back in there.
Was that...
I don't remember who that was. Somebody was giving his stuff away.
It was not Jackal.
No, it was somebody else.
It was the guy before Jackal. It was that Nathan guy.
Yeah.
The guy that we eventually found. You know,
is that the guy that Boozer phoned?
We're pretty fucking good at stuff like that. You know, if it had only happened once, I would have said, like, ha-ha, owned, but there's no way I'd ever be able to do that again. I just got lucky. But no, I think that we're actually kind of...
I mean, if someone, kinda
decent at tracking people down and you know, stopping that kind of hacks or nonsense. But anyway,
playing in May, and then played the game for like a month, and sort of got to the end of where the content was at that point, and then decided that my new game would be trying to find all the bugs in the game, and so I came up with this. I tried to hit every single script, and came up with a list of, I don't know, 30 or 40 things that were potentially exploitable. And I kept K-mailing Jick, and he never replied. And then I started talking to Boozer Bear, and he printed it out and took it to a poker night, I think, as I recall. And then you K-mailed me like the next day.
All right.
And then the thing happened, and then I called Jake on his cell phone and woke him up.
And then I remember talking to you for quite a while. The first like long conversation we had on the phone was after Black Sunday.
Right.
When I was kind of there was another guy that found my phone number somehow and called me and was like, and I don't really know, I don't remember who the guy was. But he was just this guy who was like, hey, look, I just want to tell you, I think you can fix this without rolling back.
Oh, that's right, because he was the one that had talked about the whole...
He had had some experience with...
Mafia thing, right?
I don't remember. He had some experience with like, this kind of thing happening in MUDs or whatever. And he was like, look, I think you can fix this without rolling it back. Like, and I don't know that I took any of his specific suggestions under advisement, but I mean, you know, it was just like, okay, you know, it was interesting to just like talk to somebody about sort of wider issues there. And then that kind of became your role at that point. Like we would talk on the phone a lot, just sort of bullshit about sort of overall scope of what the game was doing things.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how that all panned out. I honestly don't remember how it came to the point where you decided to come to Boston.
I was coming to Boston to see my friend Seth.
Right.
Right, one Christmas, which was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Like 3 years ago last month. And it turned out that visit sort of sucked and was a bust, but I gave myself an extra couple days because I wanted to come meet you. So I had you pick a hotel for me, which was close to where you were and close to Harvard, which is where Seth was. And
you hung out here. You hung out at not here.
Yeah, well, met you at Bukowski's.
and then we all, I guess it was us and then some other KOL people, and we all went back to the
The Poetic Justice
League. Poetic Justice League, which was the house I lived in before.
That's where I met Sorab and Wally and...
Fuzzle Faggot.
Poetic Justice League?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Poetic Justice League was the house that Hot Stuff lived in before Brambleberry Manor.
What a great name.
So it was sort of a proto-faggot ridge.
And before that, we lived in Sparkle Motion, which had no relationship to Scully's clan.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. But anyway, I came out here and ended up just like, I guess Hot Stuff was sort of the first person that I started paying to do anything. Aaron.
Well, probably I think it was Zlai. concurrent with or like within a couple weeks of Zlania, I think.
Yeah. Zlai definitely worked for me before you.
Oh,
did,
okay.
But yeah, just started paying Hot Stuff to do some of the tedious stuff that I didn't want to do, and
we hung out at Arkenstock shortly.
That's true. That was fairly soon after that.
I met the pretentious artist, and we all just sort of like got along really, really well.
Yeah, and so that was what kind of spawned Hot Stuff coming out to Arizona, and then that just
we had the summit. As well.
Right. The summit, which is where we were deciding whether we were going to hire Riff and Zeno, and seeing if we could work.
Yeah.
Seeing if we could all work together or not. And,
that was neat.
And, yeah, it was. It was.
That was the birth of the emo row.
It was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because all we ended up doing, we were like, all right, so let's talk about Ascension and what we should do with Ascension, and we ended up spending almost the entire trip just designing April Fools.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, was a real...
kicking the balls to the player base.
But it was also a real, you know, it was precognitive, you know? It was a good indication of what us working together in the future was going to be like. It was like, hey guys, let's work on big project number 437. Oh wait, here's something that would be funny. Let's do this instead for a couple days. Huh. On dev, periodically, is it like half? Yeah, it's like 10:30. So on dev, periodically, Hot Stuff has just pointed out that there is no miscellaneous leaderboard on the dev login page.
Right.
Every once in a while on dev, when the thing that makes the Hall of Records is in the process of...
It claims that there are 917.
It's cranking down. It takes a while for people to get flushed out.
Whatever. I see.
Every 10 seconds, people from a minute and a half ago or whatever are being kicked off of that list. They're not actually doing anything. When the Hall of Records stuff is updating, the actual physical files are being updated on dev, they won't show up in the include thing. So...
Huh.
Yeah. So anyway, Gleebs, that was that story.
And what a fine story it was.
Doppelheathen says, I noticed on Cold Front's page that the number of custom avatars has gone up. How big is the backlog at this point? I think we are
down below a billion, right?
Below a billion, yeah. We're caught up to December.
Yeah.
At this point. And when Hot Stuff animates stuff for me, that goes a lot faster. Because Hot Stuff's my animation consultant.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that's not good. But then I say it in a really animated way. I'm like, yeah, that's not good!
Noen says, why not display a system message when the show is starting? Sometimes I do. I just forget. Notech says, can you tell us if there's more to be done to speed up the fuckle other than the secret and the secret? Is there anything else that helps? I don't know. I think that those two things that you mentioned might be the only things that you can actually do to speed that up. Weird. I'm looking at Shop Troll sent a bunch of questions, and among them is a link to a forum thread that I'm going to follow and see what it is. Yeah. Holy crap. The multi-using on cupcakes what do you call it? Snow cones. Yeah. The thing is, I should probably just make that code robust. And the problem is that it's just a pain in the ass to make them multi-usable, right? Like, because they... what are you doing?
I'm retorting to Karu.
Oh, I see. it is a pain in the ass to make it so you can eat a snow cone of the flavor that you already have. Like, it's... They're coded as a group, and if I split them out and coded them all individually and did those exception cases, then that, you know, it'd be totally fine. That's something that I could conceivably also just toss Xenophobe's way. Shop Trolls also says, when jewelry making was tweaked before NS13, we were told that the bracelet recipes would be re-implemented after NS13. Is this still on the back burner? I don't think that I ever said that I was going to do that, because I was never really planning on doing that. Because there was the jewelry crafting tweak that basically removed a quarter of the recipes, right? We took the hemp bracelet out of the jewelry store,
mm-hmm.
and made we basically made it so jewelry could only be made with stuff from the jewelry store in Canada.
Right.
I think that I said that I was going to do something else with all of the existing bracelet recipes, and at this point I believe that I have. Because there's the three hippie beads, and then there's all the pirate charm bracelets, which no longer use the hemp bracelet. I think that's probably what I meant. And then, what's the status of the Con 4 item? I only ever think about this while I'm doing the radio show, and I'm only ever not talking to Zly while I'm doing the radio show, so it's just fucking... Sorry, everybody.
I thought we had a list and stuff.
I don't know where the list is. The only thing that's stopping me from doing it is me not physically having a copy of, and by physically I mean digitally, having a copy of the list of item IDs of who to give this item to. It would be trivial to... I'm going to use all recycled artwork. Yeah, I'm sure you guys are happy to hear that. but yeah, it's...
Jake's pants are vibrating.
Oh, man. My mom is calling me. I should call my mom after the show is over. Remind me to call my mom after the show is over.
Okay.
You see
what I did there? I just earned my living by saying okay.
Yep.
That's hot.
Let's see. Biscuit Force is asking Scully to explain how Ron Paul is evil. Does Scully think Ron Paul is evil?
I feel like his supporters are kind of like a cult. I mean, that is just totally anecdotal, and I don't mean to offend any cultists, but...
I'm Frenchy. I'm from France. I don't mean to offend any cultists.
But every time I see people sort of supporting him, they're just kind of rabid about it. And then there was that one guy who was griefing in Team Fortress 2.
Oh, yeah.
And he was forcing people to say that they supported Ron Paul.
Right.
There's an awesome video. You should Google Team Fortress 2 griefing quiz, I think. That'll probably bring it up.
Yeah.
It's funny at the end.
Yeah.
It's really hard to tell what's going on. Maybe
not
if you
having,
play,
I was say not,
yeah, if
not
you play a lot
Team
of Team Fortress.
Fortress,
it probably makes a lot more sense. Putineska says, I still think a way to get the wand back would be nice, especially for those non-ascenders who've blown theirs up. It could even be a meat sink. Yeah.
I think your mom sent me a text message.
Really?
Hot.
Did my mom send you? I wonder if something happened with... No? No? Oh. I see. My wife sent you a text message. Yeah, my wife thinks Ron Paul is evil because he looks like he looks like Ian McKellen. No, you know, I was actually kind of freaked out because my mom knows how to get a hold of you. I was afraid that maybe there was some sort
she
of...
She knows how to get a hold of me?
I'm sure she knows your phone number.
Really?
She had it in Europe.
Oh. My phone? I didn't have my phone.
Didn't you? You didn't?
No, it doesn't work in Europe.
You didn't take... Really?
What are you talking about?
I mean, for our phones to work in Europe, it was just a matter of us calling and saying, hey, we'd like our phones to work in Europe. And they were like, okay, that'll be $1 billion a minute. I'm like, okay, well, I will only use it in extreme emergencies, which... You know, I ended up only... I ended up, for that entire couple of months, only spending like $100.
That's not too
bad. On just having a phone whenever I needed it the whole time I was in Europe.
I
so
brought
that,
my
that
phone
was...
with the intention of getting like a new SIM card or whatever, but I did not end up doing it. Never turned it on. And you know, when I got back, zero voicemails.
It must be nice.
Yeah, having no one love you.
Aww.
XXX, Snappy XXX says, I don't care what anyone says, NS13 and the pirate content rocks. Keep up the good work, all of you guys. Wow, people are still saying that NS13 isn't good?
How's it like not having anybody love you?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's the thing. I have 40 voicemails and all of them are just, NS13 sucks! The new pirates suck! You're a faggot!
Voicemails?
Yeah. No, I don't really have 40 voicemails.
Okay.
But luckily, now that he has an iPhone, he can just delete the ones that are obviously going to be just people ragging on it.
Yeah. I've had such miserable luck with the iPhone since I came out here.
Oh, in terms of
right before I came here, and God motherfucking damn it, I should have known. Like, oh, there's a new software update for the iPhone. I have to plug my phone into iTunes to make it happen. All right, I'm apprehensive because iTunes never does a goddamn thing right ever, and luckily iTunes did not fail me. Luckily, I did not have to deal with the cognitive dissonance of having it suddenly just work, because applying the new software update to my iPhone fucking bricked it. So, then it's in recovery mode, and it's like, please connect this phone to iTunes in order to fix it. I'm like, that seems like a curious suggestion, given that plugging it into iTunes is what fucking broke it in the first place. So I plug it into the best thing is how specific iTunes was when the failure occurred, right? You know what error happened when my phone got bricked?
Unspecified
error. Thanks, iTunes. That was very helpful. So, I plug it in. iTunes says, iTunes has detected an iPhone in recovery mode. Would you like to lose all your goddamn data so that your phone will start working again? And I'm like, yes, that was exactly what I was hoping to do today, was fucking re-enter every single person into my address book and then you know, re-import all the music that I had on the fucking iPhone. Thank you. Thank you, iTunes, for giving me that opportunity. But after the percentage bar fucks around in some way that isn't progress, it's just like, oh, look, some color sweeping back and forth on a rectangle. That is giving me a just fantastic indicator of how much progress is being made at what's going on right now. Oh, great. How much longer are you going to be, honey? Well, the thing has to slide back and forth 40 more times, so I've lost count of how many times the little thing has slid back and forth.
I'm adding the soundtrack for when this eventually gets turned into a remix.
No, it's like Kit. It just sits there like, I'm sorry, Michael, your phone doesn't work anymore. I'm sorry, Michael. I've also deleted a bunch of the files off of your hard drive for no reason.
The problem was you need to be like moving your laptop along the road and then have your iPhone dock with it while it's
So It spends about 5 minutes with that shit sliding back and forth on the percentage bar, and then it says, unable to recover this iPhone. And you want to know why?
Unspecified error.
So I'm like, motherfucker. So I look it up online, and it turns out that this whole thing happened because I was a single minor version number out of date.
How did you start iTunes without asking you if you wanted to update?
It never doesn't ask me if I want to update it. There's a new version of iTunes every fucking 45 minutes. And you know what? This one worked the last time I used it, so I'm not touching it. Because who knows? Who knows if the next version of iTunes comes with fucking tentacles that rape all my cats? Because that's the kind of shit they would put in iTunes. That is seriously
that is
probably
a feature that millions of users have asked for.
Yeah, come on, man.
All right. Anyway,
Hentai
so yeah.
Kitty, iTunes 2.0.
One minor version out of date. Yeah. One minor version out of date, and that causes it to brick your goddamn phone when you try to apply a software update. And that's acceptable. Everybody is just okay with that.
I wouldn't say brick.
Yay, Apple!
It was recoverable.
Yeah, it was recoverable, but
also if you tried to build a house out of iPhones, that would kind of suck. I think you're.
No, it would be a very expensive house.
Yeah.
It'd be really sexy. Hey, look, my house cost $1 million and it's the size of a refrigerator. Like, so
that's funny because the box that I live in is also the size of a refrigerator.
iTunes is checking. iSpeculum is checking it. it turns out that the last time I had synced my phone to iTunes, which was only like a fucking month ago, it was able to restore, and it took like a fucking hour. I just went to dinner and then came back because it took like an hour to restore my phone from the backup.
You have no idea how long it took. You went to dinner.
It was going to take an hour. There was actually a meaningful progress bar on that one.
I see.
So, yeah. So I didn't lose any of the audio files that I had on the thing, which was, you know, the primary thing. I didn't lose any of my contacts except the ones that I had added in the last month. I lost all the pictures that I had, including a really cute picture of me and my wife kissing, which was then the very cute picture that showed up whenever my wife called me. And now I don't have that.
I would believe that she was very cute, but I don't know that the...
No, I have this cute mustache. No, I'm super cute.
I just appear to have accidentally ejected something.
It's ejected.
Oh, right.
Ooh.
Rifflesby is learning all kinds of things about his laptop today.
Everybody, everybody's moving to Phoenix. iSpec and his lady friend are moving to Phoenix at the beginning of March.
Oh, apparently.
From Tucson.
Yeah, Tucson. Good. Glad to hear that you're getting out of that criminal infested shithole. And I say
where
that,
your mother lives.
Hey, you know.
Are you trying to tell me something about your mother's activities?
No, I just Tucson is full of criminals. That's all there is to it.
I don't know that you couldn't say that about any city, though.
Tucson is horrible.
Any city, pretty titty.
California.
Pretty titty.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, Tucson is fucking horrible. I've spent a lot of time there. It's fucking horrible.
I bet it's not as bad as Cincinnati.
The bars that I used to go to with Doc Galactic, man. Like, bars. Public bars. This is a business, and it smells like cat piss. How does that happen? It's like concrete floors, and it still smells like piss.
Concrete floors?
Yeah, terrible, terrible bars.
Maybe it's just solidified piss. It's not actually concrete.
Yeah, it could be. Deadhead is linking to a forum thread that I'm going to look at. I don't know what this thing is, but I'll look at it later.
Ooh, the raffle drawing for the March hats and the zombie glands are starting to be drawn.
You know, I actually meant to do this a long time ago. They've basically drawn a big map with everything on KOL. On it, right? Like they've expanded everything. What I meant to do a long time ago was print out a poster sized thing that was. The trouble is,
Weird. They did their own art.
Yeah, they did do their own art.
They had to.
Would be in like wildly different scales.
Yeah.
Is the problem. Right, because like the stuff on the plains would be twice as big as the Bounty Hunter Hunter's shack.
It's a, it's, a, it's amazing to me that they copy of that? They haven't.
It's on the forums.
Oh, what is it? Where on the forums?
Nobody seems to have found that, that hidden zone.
The one over west of the plains.
Yeah, well, you know, with the 30 trophies in it.
Yeah, no, it's weird.
Well, how you guys are mean.
Imposter says, "Hey guys,
anyway,
I'm sure
I'm
lots
still trying
suggested
to finish
this.
Eating all that fettuccine at Kano."
Yeah,
227 of them. But why no pixelated booze from the Crackpot Mystic? Yeah, that's a good. The pixel pie is not exactly particularly digital either. I think that what we should probably do is switch it from purple pixel pie to something made of red, like a haunch of meat made from red pixels. You know,
where do we have the monster bait though? Don't we?
Oh yeah.
What thread is that?
Oh shit! Sorry, it's called Map of Loathing, and it is in the Lair of the Pretentious Artists.
Cool.
No, that's cool. I really have for a long time been meaning to do that. I've been meaning to produce one of those, like a to scale map where everything else is just kind of inflated up. But it would look really weird if
barren,
I actually did it.
Kind of.
Yeah, the plains would be really really
packed,
sparse. No, stuff would either be huge or it would be really far apart in the middle.
I was assuming it's huge.
Because we have to zoom in three times, basically, right, to get everything in town.
Three times.
Yeah. We really need to do that major construction project in Seaside Town.
Hey,
I push for it,
you're like, eh.
But every time we talk about it, we end up with a bunch of questions that we can't answer.
I don't think that's true. I can answer them.
Sure.
And the answer's going to be no.
Yeah. God, my voice is getting kind of cached. I've been talking too much here.
Yeah.
Let's see.
You could sing Ring of Fire.
Whoa, I'm on fire?
Yeah.
Hello. My wife says hi.
Hi.
Dr. Van Mojo says, "The Black Forest is one of the most interesting and best-written zones in the game." Well, I thank you. It's sad that there's so little to do there. The part of the level 11 quest that requires you to go there only takes about 5 turns, while significantly less interesting zones, like the Hidden Temple and the Middle Chamber, take up a much larger part of that quest. Any chance more reasons to visit the Black Forest could be given? Like, maybe put a bounty there? I don't know.
I mean, clearly you haven't been having to farm for pepper.
Zen Mator says, was all of this shit intentional? And then links to the KOL wiki page about 11. Yes. Yeah, we have. It boggles my mind to read the KOL wiki.
It's
because I'm like,
I appreciate that other people are willing to.
Yeah.
Compile all of that information for us.
And it's like, I really hope that, you know, years from now when the hosting goes under for whatever that is, that somebody has a copy of it that I can keep, you know, to
you
show
could,
my grandchildren.
Oh, W get it now.
Yeah, I could. W
the wiki is, man, vital for me. Because, I mean, when I go into to write new stuff or correct things, I always end up having to look something up on the wiki.
Yeah. No, it's and it's just such it's
so
it's
you're
like,
giving them you're giving the power to the people here because now they're like,
now they're gonna put in a lot of fake stuff to screw me up
exactly.
when I'm writing stuff.
Neon Rev says, "So have you guys ever heard of the CSI effect? I'm writing a term paper on it, and it's interesting both in how dumb people can be and in why I stopped watching TV save house."
Is this the kind of thing where criminals think that if they do or do not leave a particular kind of evidence that they'll be safe because CSI has shown them that this is how they catch criminals or whatever? Is that I am surmising because I've never actually heard of this effect, but that's what I would immediately jump to. I mean, there's a lot of bullshit on TV and movies even. Like they're pretty like the whole tracing a phone call thing, it's fucking instant, people. You make a phone call, they know exactly where you called from. There's no like 60-second tracing delay bullshit. It's instant. You make a phone call, they know where it came from. Don't make the phone call.
The CSI effect is crime is the way that the unrealistic technology on those shows raises the expectations of crime victims and jury members of what they ought to be able to find.
So that's the opposite kind of effect. Yeah. That's interesting.
Like the guy in The Big Lebowski who makes fun of him when he asks if he's like, do you have any leads on who stole and things?
Yeah,
like, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. No, we got a couple detectives working on it around the clock. Yeah, that was.
That's pretty funny.
I mean, I grew up around cops, so you know, it's like,
yeah,
Bad Boys.
Bad Boys. With,
what you gonna do?
Are you talking about the Will
when,
Smith
when they come for you? The theme song to Cops.
There's also that Bad Boys movie about cops.
I know. I know. It's like a. It was doubly parallel, and then
don't
you started questioning. What do you want from me?
It says, what are your favorite webcomics? I like XKCD the most, but with Penny Arcade a close second, lacking only in consistency. I don't think that Penny Arcade lacks consistency.
Yeah, Penny Arcade is nearly always really good.
I can see how it would vary in terms of funniness if you did or didn't know about what they were talking about. But
also, if you're offended by assholes.
Typically, reading the post...
And it's worth reading the post will
explain or at least link to whatever it is that they're talking about. So
yeah.
I mean, if you're willing to, I mean, and I like to keep up on the games industry, you know. So like it's
Dinosaur Comics is one of the funniest ones out there.
Yeah, Cyanide and Happiness.
I'm enjoying Goats and Zebra Girl is really good, but really rarely updated. Dr. McNinja is really good.
I was going to say Dr. McNinja, but I don't read that super regularly.
This is also, have you guys ever been hunting? Also. And in that vein, are you anti-hunting? Do you have at least two guns on you all the time? or do you just not care at all? I am not pro-gun, but I'm anti-gun. Like, you know, I went hunting when I was a kid. I never actually got
anything. Bagged a deer.
And I'm pretty glad, because I feel like I would be crippled with guilt had I personally slain any woodland creatures.
The best fish I ever tasted was a fish that I had caught myself earlier that day.
I did catch and eat fish when I was a kid. Like we had a pond that was stocked with cat. I mean, I grew up in the country, you know. Like I grew up, you know, we would regularly eat like squirrel and rabbit and
really?
Stuff around the time when those seasons opened, because like all of my uncles would just, you know, my family did a lot of hunting to sort of augment the food supply, right? It's not like it's not like we would have starved. It's not like we were all super poor, but it was like, hey, you know,
in living sort of in a style that's part of the ecology, I think is fine, you know.
Yeah.
Using every part of the buffalo is good, but
yeah.
Hunting for sport is something that I think is just kind of lame.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They're fucking animals. They're not... You're going to be able to beat them given enough time
you
and
know,
technology.
You know, my dad... I'm pretty sure that my dad... we have a deer head that I'm pretty sure my dad killed with a bow and arrow.
That's pretty
you
interesting,
know?
Right?
Yeah.
That's
right? Like, and I mean, he went hunting with guns, but I'm pretty sure that the one time he actually got a deer, he got it with a bow and arrow.
That he built himself on that trip.
We one time... God, we were...
he had to take a sinew from his own leg to build the string.
No, but we ate the deer. He brought the deer home. We ate it over the course of a couple of years. You know, like...
You had frozen deer for a couple of years?
Maybe not a couple of years, but for a while.
Okay. I had a...
My uncle's a butcher.
Game
so.
Bird before and, like... There was still some buckshot in it or whatever. I almost tripped a tooth.
Yeah, I went dove hunting with Dad once, and this was
shotgun, man. It's like
this still kind of horrifying. Like my job was to go out and find the still flopping dove and pull its head off to put it out of its misery and then carry it.
You had
back.
To pull its head off as opposed to like just wring its neck or something.
Well, that was the quickest way to kill it. Was you just grab it by the head and just like snap it like a whip and its head just pops off. I mean, it is by far the most humane thing to do to a dove
no,
that's been blasted by
I guess
a shotgun.
I'm just surprised that it had, like, I've had to, I mean, I killed a chicken once for dinner, and, like, you just
doves,
wring its neck. You
dove's heads aren't on particularly tightly, so, yeah. No, but, I mean, it bugs me to think about that, you know? Like, I don't, like, I mean, it, the few times that I was, like, you know, did mean things to frogs and killed them when I was very, very small. Like, which I think everybody does stuff like that.
We put a
frog
in a
tortures
tailpipe of a
bugs
car one
and,
time.
Yeah, like,
I feel really bad about that.
I lay awake at night thinking of the... And you know, that is my conscience. That is why I have a conscience. That is why I don't want to hurt stuff. That, like, I honestly think that those experiences were very formative. And the fact that I remember them and am aware
That's
of
true.
Them and know that those are the things that give me my... I will take spiders outside. I hate spiders, but I don't like killing spiders. Fucking scorpions, man. Fucking scorpions. Sorry, scorpions, but this is my house.
Yeah.
And you don't get carried outside. You get fucking stomped on right now.
They're hard to catch. It would...
Yeah.
The possibility that you could get stung and, like... injured.
Yeah.
Spiders aren't usually going to bite you.
Right.
If there was a tarantula...
Tarantulas don't hurt you.
They can bite you.
Black widows I will kill.
Yeah.
Black widows I do kill, because, God damn it, why do I live in Arizona?
I don't know.
The front porch, full of fucking black widows. The inside of the house, full of fucking tarantulas. Scorpions, not tarantulas. Tarantulas would be fine. I have only seen one tarantula since I've lived in Arizona.
I didn't even think they were native to Arizona.
Yeah, they are. They're native to just the whole Southwest, I think.
I did not
realize it was
that.
In Prescott that I saw it. Oh, you know what? No, two. One of the, I was also talking, my dad and I used to go out just driving around in the ranch land all the time, just like sort of go up in the mountains or go out in the desert and just drive old roads to see how far they go. Like, he'd get like, you know, county maps from the Geological Survey and stuff and just.
I feel like you should read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, but it would just depress you.
Yeah. I never did make it through it. But yeah, we saw a tarantula, like, in the middle of the road once. We're driving along, and I'm like, hey, what's that on the road? And Dad stopped, and there was, just, like, a tarantula slowly crossing the road. So we're like, why are you doing that? And he was like, because I'm stapled to a chicken. Can't you see it? So yeah, I am not anti-hunting by any stretch of the imagination. As long as you eat it. I mean, if you hunt something and kill it, you should eat it. If you kill something with your own hands, you should eat it, or it should be a threat to you. Other than that, I don't think it's okay for you.
I don't really care one way or the other about
what?
Hunting. As far
what about
as like
farmers that kill wolves that are killing their chickens.
That's
I think okay.
Yeah. As far as guns in general go, I mean, I'm not like anti-gun. I'm also of the I don't have anything against the idea of heavy restrictions on guns that don't have any purpose other than killing people. Like, nobody's using assault weapons for hunting or target shooting.
I used to use assault. I mean, you know, because I inherited probably 100 guns from my dad that are still in my mom's house. You know, but there's, you know, she's not doing anything with them, and eventually they will be mine, and eventually they will be at my house. There are several assault rifles in that arsenal, you know, and it was pretty fun, you know. Dad, when they were first talking about the assault rifle ban, went and bought a couple, because the ban was just on buying them. The ban was not on owning them, right? So the ban didn't accomplish anything. The single worst crime arguably perpetrated with assault rifles happened during a time when it was illegal to buy them, right? Mm-hmm. I got into this argument with, like, an ex-girlfriend's parents about gun control. I'm like, you know, they were like, look at Columbine. Assault rifles should be illegal. I'm like, they fucking already are.
Guys,
they especially already are for, like, a 17-year-old, you know?
Those guys,
like,
didn't have assault rifles, did they?
They did, though.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, and I don't even know
I was thinking
where they
that they had, like, Uzis at most.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, it was, I don't know, you know, Dad had one, we took it to a target range and shot some targets with, it was fun. It was like, I mean, it would just shoot every time you pulled the trigger. It was like, bang, 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 bang. I mean, you know, you can say nobody target shoots with assault rifles, but I would argue that 99% of the people who own assault rifles target shoot with them. Mm. So, I mean, it's not something you want to, it would be very unfair to use an assault rifle for hunting. And it's very impractical to use a handgun for hunting, but, like, at what point do you make knives illegal? You know, I mean, do you...
The other thing that's kind of... that, in theory, an armed populace is something that a government would be concerned about, right? And it is, I think, a good idea for the government to have a little bit of fear of its people. Like, if it fucks over its people enough, they will rise up and depose
it. I think we've gotten way past the point where that's possible.
And that's the thing. I think we've gotten past it, too. And that's a little worrisome to me, right? like there is nothing really stopping the government, I think, from declaring martial law and, like, going all V for Vendetta on the citizens, you know? Like, and I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, I guess, you know, what am I going to do? Like, if the government declares martial law, I would like to think that what I'm going to do is I'm going to drive down to where all my guns are and, you know, start practicing shooting, and then if the guys come to try to take away my shit, I will kill them. But I probably wouldn't actually do that, you know? But if I was in a building with 100 other guys that felt like that, then yeah, you know, like... I mean, I'm not just gonna go out and start shooting my congressmen instead of writing them letters. But I mean, you know, my property is more important than the laws that make it my property at the discretion of my government. You know, like, the institution of government is not important enough to me for me to say, oh, you want my house? Sure, here you go. Because that's where I live. They can't have it. You know, I paid for that. I stood here and wiped it off when it was wet so that it wouldn't get damaged. You know, you can't have my stuff. Like, this is my stuff, right? So, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. The armed populace thing is sort of the only reason that I feel like I can sort of justify the whole lots of guns everywhere kind of thing, but I do worry that we're beyond the point that argument even really holds weight.
Yeah.
So.
I also don't know that, you know, the people in government who are in favor of gun control are in favor of gun control because they are trying to disarm us.
No, I don't think there's some cabal of people that are trying to, like, be in complete and total power, but I do think that...
I would say that there's a couple, but I think not as many of them as a lot of people think.
Well, no, but I don't think they... There's, like, this weird government collusion to do a lot of the things. I think that the fact that we've given a lot of power to individuals through sort of joint corporate and government responsibilities or whatever. I mean, you know, Cheney... personally profiting, Cheney and Bush personally profiting from Halliburton type stuff. You know, like
why is that okay?
It's fundamentally not okay. That's the problem, and we don't care. We just do not care.
We do, but I mean, what are you gonna do? You're gonna vote against them, but that doesn't fucking accomplish anything. You know, so like,
I don't think when I say we, I mean the American people, and I think that there is just a tremendous amount of apathy.
Yeah, which is why I feel like, you know, the whole idea that everybody gets to vote is kind of stupid. You know, it is this perfect ideal that we uphold, and it bites us in the ass every chance it gets.
Yeah.
It puts fucking actors in charge. It puts...
But everybody didn't vote, too. That's the other thing. Like, I think it was, 65 or 70% turnout. You know, and it's just gone downhill since the 80s, you know?
I mean, just democracy, in my mind, is a perfect device for putting control in the hands of the people who are the best liars. You know? I don't have a better... I mean, I do have a better suggestion, but nobody wants to hear it.
enlightened dictatorship.
No, you know, feudalism. Feudalism with the aristocracy chosen based on SAT scores. I
have said this.
You have nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose. You, my friend, Hot Stuff, are a wealthy landowner. And you know what? I will gladly be your chief serf.
The problem is I don't feel like I would be a good politician. Because I don't feel like I'd be able to...
But I feel like if you had to, you could make the decisions necessary to take care of the needs of a few hundred people.
Okay.
I mean, you are a smart guy, you are a guy with a well-developed sense of justice. You are a guy who is reasonable and you are nice. You know? Like, you would not... If you were given control of a country that had a few hundred people as its population, yeah, a certain amount of natural resources, and you had to basically develop, you know, you had to choose how the infrastructure of that country was going to be developed and how it was going to interact with other countries, you would not choose it based on what allowed you to rape the most women. You would not make decisions based on what gave you the most personal power.
Have
you know?
Seen Syriana? Maybe
no.
Syriana?
No.
That's another interesting sort of.
We're 10 minutes over. We
gotta, oh,
we gotta go. Yeah, yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. So we're gonna leave you in the hands of Icepec, and we'll be back on Thursday, kids, and we'll
bullshit.
I hope
2 hours.
Yeah, I hope that you guys. I've really enjoyed this show. I hope that you guys have enjoyed it, and we'll try and answer more questions next time.
So send us good questions to inspire interesting conversations.
They may well have sent us good
That's
questions
true.
This time. We just didn't get to them. So. All right, we'll talk
to you
guys.
Have
on
a
Thursday.
Good couple of weeks.
See you.
Days, people.
There's a girl with a crown and a scepter who's on WLSD. And she says that the scene isn't what it's been, and she's thinking of going home. That it's old and it's totally over now, and it's old and it's over now, and it's over, it's over, it's over. Now I can see myself at the end of the tour when the road disappears. If there's any more people around when the tour runs aground, and if you're still around, then we'll meet at the end of the tour. The engagements are booked through the end of the world, so we'll meet at the end of the tour. People driving themselves to distraction inside me. Then came a knock on the door, which was odd, and the picture abruptly changed at the end of the tour when the road disappears. If there's any more people around when the tour runs aground, and if you're still around, then this was the vehicle, these were the people. You opened the door and expelled all the people.